Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me Soul Sister, who we already realized like 5 minutes in, I'm like, we better press the record button, Dr. Kelly Bonoff. And among the other things, aside from being a soul sitter, which I can already tell you are, you're the author of What's Going On With My Family. You're an early childhood trauma and sensitivity. You experienced early childhood trauma and sensitivity. You've served as an RN and a trauma therapist, and you love helping families heal trauma, and you specialize with people of all ages as in that capacity. And then you had your spiritual awakening. And I already know that you had the spiritual awakening when you were already awake when you came in, but because we're in the same age group, we had to suppress that because we didn't have anyone to relate with. So first off, I want to thank you so much for your energy and for being here with me. And I'm so excited for whatever comes through.
Me too, Sophia. It's always beautiful with the synchronicity of the podcasting to just know immediately and then to have this beautiful back and forth. So I'm excited. Let's jump in and see what we can talk about.
Yeah. So I get two questions. The first is, tell me about your spiritual journey. And the other one is, how do people find you? But that's at the end of the podcast. So we'll start with, tell me about your journey.
Holy cow. Right. Okay. So I parachuted in with my parents. I was the oldest and three siblings in the early 1960s. And so when we parachuted into that timeline, the storyline of that, we were just submerged in what I refer to as the shark tank of energy. So I knew immediately that I didn't know where I was or what was going on, but I knew that I was in some heavy energy. Mm-hmm. And almost immediately I realized, ooh, my mom's not feeling well. My daddy's not real happy. And so I needed to help with that, but also I needed to keep my siblings safe. So very early in my childhood, I had a question that came up, and it was, why are children being hurt by those who have the opportunity to love them and keep them safe? And so as I kind of went through my own sacred contract and blueprint, and I had the things I wanted to work on or wanted to heal, really. And then the six of us had stuff we talked about we wanted to heal, but we were so overwhelmed. Our snorkels were underwater with this shark tank of energy. So parents didn't remember, their parents didn't remember, on and on and on, until we've got a lot of ancient trauma that our ancestors went through. Mm-hmm. But I discovered that this is in our first rodeo. So we have been across all kinds of lineages and all kinds of timelines. So what I was trying to figure out in my own lifetime as a nurse, so I became a nurse first because I was trying to figure out how to help my mom, right? Mm-hmm. And then I became a trauma therapist because I was like, well, what's going on with my dad? What's going on? And then we were just co-creating as masters of energy from the contrast, from the stuff we didn't prefer, but we didn't know. Mm-hmm. So then I got really curious. I just, at this point, I realized, look, a lot of things that happened to me made me feel super unworthy, unlovable, not enough, like most, that's the wound that most of us have. Mm-hmm. And so what did I do? As a wounded healer, I said, I'm just going to help as many people as I can and try and survive. So all my life force energy was to help. But then I got to the pandemic pause and I hit the wall. Mm-hmm. So I had a breakdown to break through, to break free. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is I was in so much mental, emotional, physical pain by then, had no idea I was a spiritual being. And I went to acupuncture to help with the pain. And when those needles went in, Sophia, what happened was it opened all the meridians. And all of that stuff, all of the stuff from ancestor, all the stuff from karma, all the stuff that was in my cells flooded into my system. And so for the next 12 days, I really did think I was taking the exit. In fact, I was kind of hoping I'd take it.
Yeah,
but
that's
in the
intense.
Midst of that, I had a dream. And it was the dream after opening all of this that opened me up to, you remember, Let's Make a Deal? It was curtain number one, curtain number two, curtain number three. Uh-huh. So I'd opened curtain number one with the body, Curtain number two with the mind, so mind body, but curtain number three. Oh, I hadn't opened that. And when it opened, it blew open. And so it's the story of me, myself, and I am that's in the book. But it was that dream that was so out of body, right? And I thought, as a scientist, which I am, what is that? And because of the question I'd been asking my entire life, I took the next 3 years, Reiki, shaman, energy healing, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, oh my gosh, I don't have a family life. My family is life. And then that was it. I mean, that was like, now I can figure it out. So the book is just this beautiful downloaded experience from all of my life cycles, because I'm in my 60s now. I'm a grandmother. Now I can put it all together. Awesome. So any of the families that are wondering, what's going on with my family? They have an empowered narrative now that they can choose. So that's kind of the bumper sticker story of what happened.
I love that because, I was late 60s, as I told you, and beautiful parents. Both my parents were rainbow sheep in their time periods. So, mom is a musician. She started playing piano at four. Like, amazing. She's just incredible. Absolutely zero self-worth and manic depressive and possibly bipolar because she's constantly battling with her soul and now she has dementia because she's in that battle of what her soul wants versus what her programs are. My dad was an amazing gentle soul who repressed all his feelings because he didn't know how to manage them. So I come out of these two beautiful souls to this incredibly dysfunctional, codependent, emotionally repressed environment. And I'm like, what did I what did I just come into? But I'm the spiritual one. Like, I'm astral traveling in single digits. I'm totally connected to my team. And then I have trauma at 10. And because I'm growing up in small town Fairfield County, Connecticut in the 70s, I didn't have anyone to relate with. So I shut it down. I shut it down, right? But I still have the intuition. Like, I can't shut it off. I just don't know how to deal with the non-physical support I have because there's such a disconnect between my 3D and the 5D self that I'm like, I can't. Sorry. I have to exist in this very dysfunctional relationship. And yes, I probably need your support. I don't know how to deal with it. So it's, but I chose it because we all choose it before we come in. And to see the reflections of those beings now, where I am in my consciousness, the ancestral trauma that they got themselves out of, that, I mean, really, like, I mean, I got Swedish in my DNA, so I've got Viking stuff in there. So, I mean, there's like some ancestral stuff going on, and yet I know that I came here to heal all of it. Like, that was my contract. I don't have children because I didn't want to pass the epigenetics on before I knew what epigenetics were. And so it's really fascinating that our age demographic has the awareness to know what we came in for, and that journey of the remembering process of the deeper levels.
Right. So Sophia, the hero's journey is really a journey of everybody, right? So one of the things I notice in the world right now is we're talking about lots of different systems. We've got government systems, healthcare systems, information technology systems, economic systems. And everybody's like, these need to change, education, whatever. All that needs to change. But the gap I noticed is the family system is really, the first 7 years, 6, 7 years, I think it happens long before that. But the way I feel like it's like the 5 E's. So I call it we're entranced, we're entrained, we're enmeshed, we're entangled, and then we're entrapped. Okay. And so all of the pattern of that, once we've recognized, well, that's just a pattern, that is, and it feels real personal. And yes, it's not comfortable for sure. But what I was trying to figure out was, that's fine. The personal development's important. I'm not saying it's not important.
Right.
How do we move into family development? How do we look at an entire? So I decided to move through this process with the six of us, parents, and then the four, to try and figure out, well, what did we come in to do together? So that's the question I started asking. And then, depending on what that was, I realized that's actually what humanity, because we're microcosm, macrocosm, right? Well, humanity is healing three key themes. The first is the wound of separation, believing we're not interconnected. The second was the theme of judgment toward ourselves, each other, the world, the systems. And the third was this beautiful theme around what I call self-honoring, self-love, self-forgiveness, self-compassion, self-trust, ooh, and self-care. So these were the three major themes that our family as souls came into this particular lineage, because when I looked back on ancestry.com, I realized I was one of my ancestors on my mother's side. I realized I was healing trafficking as a child from 14 generations ago, right? So now we're starting to see patterns, right? So what I began to notice was, it, when I shifted in my own hero's journey without saying a word to anybody, and I was having interactions with my family of origin, something had shifted, but I didn't know what it was. So for the last 3 years, my husband and I, on each of our family side, my husband and I had our own healing journey. We had been together many times, but had forgotten. So we were able to heal trauma as a couple,
Oh, wow.
heal the generations of our families across four generations.
Oh,
And we
wow.
were trying to figure out, well, does this stuff really work or not? You know, without really telling them what was like, we didn't have to go to concept. I didn't have to say my father was suffering with symptoms that we associate with narcissism. My mother was suffering from symptoms associated with sadness, depression, so on and so forth. So humanity loves to a good story, and we love to label, and we love to point, you know, and that keeps us busy, keeps us from
Right.
going into the inner realm. So what I discovered along the way, which answered to the question, why are children being hurt by those who have an opportunity to love them and keep them safe? Well, we all had adopted, humanity at large is healing ancient trauma.
Yeah.
And so it's the old energy of the powers that were, of the old systems. And as we in our 60s age range and are born in the 60s, even as a grandmother, I relate to my granddaughters differently, because I was never broken. I was becoming the greatest expression of love. My family was never broken. I don't use terms like toxic and dysfunctional and this, that, and the other, because what I say is, oh, we were masterpiece in the making. We just did not remember. So as one of us comes through the healing trauma, unlocking your hidden power, which is your resilience, your wisdom, and your genius. And now you remember, just one of us in our family line remembering and shifting, which is the sacred healing of individual and family trauma, shift, when we own our shift, right? Well, now the entire family line has the opportunity to choose to move in the direction of their true self. And let's face it, the light code's coming in, the shifting of Mother Earth. See, our families cannot hit the cosmic snooze button anymore. You know, I just need 5 more years. I just need 15 more years. I just need whatever. You listen, we are all at a pivotal moment in our hero's journey. And this is going to be the most kind of the one that gets to families, if they're watching this, or individuals, is not everyone has chosen in their sacred contract and blueprint to ascend. They may choose to hold contrast so that we have the opportunity to ascend. Now, why would a soul, a mother, a father, who's playing the role of mother, father, brother, sister, romantic partner, why would they choose contrast or what appears to be unloving or unhealthy or whatever all that is. Well, they do it because their soul is still growing and will always be growing, but they may have made a contract to help you grow. So we're all still moving. We're all coming to the vibration of home. Everybody's,
right.
There's no school left behind here.
Right, right.
So as families get an understanding that the human being in front of you is a focused expression of infinite intelligence, pure love, and sacred energy, and they're having an experience. And if you try to entangle and get in the middle of that and all that enmeshment, and we're really just, you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of the cosmic game of Twister, right? Well, you're going to be on the mat for a while, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of how I've experienced it. And as we're breaking through to break free, our families are moving in the direction of their highest potential and greater destiny. And what I care most about is that this particular message reach those families who are ready, right, to move all of the density through. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, we're healing ancient family trauma and karma forever, forever. This is the last round, as it were. We're going to heal it all.
I've felt energy all the way back to Atlantis come through me that wants to be
for
healed.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, that's deep, because I was on it. I don't know how I know this, but I know it. I was on it when it sank. And so I have that trauma and the lowering of the frequency trauma. And so it's just fascinating to feel that in my body. Because like, even though we're in this body, because our souls have no time or dimension, like souls are eternal, somehow we feel that trauma from our souls, in addition to the epigenetics, you know, how many generations back that are connected. And so it's just fascinating that we get to experience all of this. And to your point about recognizing, the phrase that's been coming through me is save myself first. You know, it's the airline image of like putting the mask on yourself first before you can help anyone else. And I had this experience recently with a girlfriend who experienced like three different levels of emotions in one day. And then I do not talk politics because I think it's irrelevant. And I told her that because I could feel the conversation coming up. I'm like, I don't talk politics. I don't choose sides. I think it's a way to create separation. She brought it in anyways, obliquely. And I start going into like deeper, really, really deeper levels about the corporation of the United States versus the Constitution and how the legal system is like not of the highest light. And I'm like trying to bring the conversation there. And she goes point blank with a question. I'm like, you're trying to get me involved in politics. And she's like, I just want to know this answer. And I'm like, of course I wouldn't do that, but you're missing the greater point. And then I realized that I was getting super triggered because I was trying to bring her into a higher level of consciousness. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's because I care for her and I love her dearly. She's one of my favorite people. And I'm trying to save her, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm like,
right.
Here, let me show you all the stuff I've studied for the past 5 years that makes me a conspiracy theorist, even though I'm not. I'm an historian who like likes to dig, and I just go down rabbit holes all the time. And I felt it when I went home. I was like, look what I did. I know better than this. I had attachment. I had entanglement. And there's nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's okay.
That's
okay. Because what she did was she gave you the gift and the opportunity to notice it. That's all that was.
Yeah.
That's all it ever is. Mm-hmm. It's the mirror. And so we are masters of energy and creation, right?
Yeah.
And so once we recognize we're co-creating the mirror and someone comes in and goes, I want to talk to you about fill in the blank. You're like, oh, well, I'm happy to talk to you about the energy of that. Because in the end, it really is just energy. So what do you notice about the energy? So this is how I, in the end, it kind of perplexes people. What do you mean the energy? And the reason why I keep doing that is because there are so many people who don't understand it's all energy. And when we speak about our families, when we our families are navigating and exploring energy, energy we haven't healed yet. That's all we're doing. That's all, so that's all we're doing. And the minute you kind of come up to a higher level and you realize, oh, we're actually all in it together, you just holding space for someone to just be who they are. We actually have, I discovered healing keys. So for instance, I healed through trafficking as a child, not just in this expression of life or lifetime, but in other lifetimes where I did not, where I died in those spaces and places and I didn't remember who I was. So in this lifetime, I said, can we give it another go? Can I find myself through this particular wound again? So when I was able to notice that I just wanted another opportunity to heal that injury, right? Then now I said, oh, well, then I needed a cast of characters around me to create that opportunity to heal. So those would be the villains of my story. And I, in human terms, would be the victim of the story, right? So I decided, well, wait a minute. I would like to know the villains because they've got a higher self. So I decided to go into meditation and ask for the higher selves of those who were in my storyline and timeline to see if they could, if it was all right, if I we could all just sit together around a campfire and what did we plan here? What was it that everybody was learning? And what I discovered was that those who had been a part of that journey with me as the offenders had all gifted me with the opportunity to heal the wound. So even though it felt as if, and it did, and it feels that way because it is real, okay? It's real, okay? And so these are the things we're moving through. But when I recognized that they chose to make those decisions when they did, now I could have in my free will chose not to go to that first overnight and listen to my inner guidance. But I wasn't in touch with my inner guidance. So I went and then I got into that situation. But all of those people that were involved also had a choice into how they would behave. So it's not a done deal, but it is open to the possibility, even in a free will moment. So where the healing keys come in is that because I was able to heal that wound, in working as a volunteer and with children who have been trafficked and families and teens and all that, I didn't realize this recently. Every time I'm even around someone, even if I don't know they've had that wound, the healing, energetic healing key is moving into their subconscious, which gives them opportunity to a higher possibility of opening to asking different questions. So you are walking around, Sophia, and your family is walking around, and everybody is walking around with healing keys specific to the wounds that they wanted to heal in this expression of life. Now that's exciting because we hear about emotional contagion. You know, somebody's angry and now everybody's really irritated and angry. I'm going to turn that. Everybody's abundant. Everybody is loving it. Everybody is in their joy. Well, that's as contagious too. So the chance. So now, what do we do? Well, we choose. We choose to discover what else could be happening. So that's my story about in my own life how I was able to come full circle to see what that contract was around that particular wound.
I love that. My wound was well, I had a couple separation, of course, because it didn't make sense to me. I was taught separation because I didn't get it. And the other one was I came in 6 weeks. I was born with a dislocated hip when I was little. Well, born, obviously, I was born with it. So 6 weeks in, I was in traction. And then for a year and a half, I was in a body cast. And I got out of the body cast and I ran. So clearly I was fine, right? Because like I should have had physical therapy. I should have been able to, you know what I mean? Like all those things, but I just like got out and I ran because I was healthy. So like there was no trauma, but subconsciously I signed up for like torture trauma stuff, like ancient stuff that I'm like, I am ready to get this healed. And it took me decades because I didn't have that awareness, but it's like, that is so cool that I signed up for that.
That's the empowering narrative, Sophia, that the message that I'm wanting to anchor into the world now is for families to understand they're beautiful, brilliant, brave, and badass coming in here to heal ancient Atlantean, Lemurian, all. So we've got it all encased in this particular lifetime. And we have an opportunity to clear as much of that as we can once we're aware. But you see, families aren't aware, and they have been echoing this old energy for a very long time. And they've just, it's going to take a minute for their systems to trust that, especially with the disorientation of the ego. So the ego, for me, I realized ego is experiencing God as other or experiencing God as one. So the minute I realized my ego was and my mind were sacred, my inner narrator and my ego had kept me alive. So I, again, with the campfire, I pull every day, I pull my mind, my body, my ego, my soul, and my spirit into a moment. And I say, how's everybody doing? Because we're all on the same place, we're in the same place. And so if my mind is saying, I'm really tired, my body's saying I'm in pain, my ego's like, do you still love me, man? Because you haven't really talked to me in a minute, whatever it is. So I, in the interrealm, what I realized was I dissociated from the beginning. I mean, from little being, like little on my hands and knees learning how to crawl. The other thing that happened was soul loss. So this is the other thing that families don't understand is that when my soul were in certain circumstances, a little facet of my soul would pop into another realm because it wasn't able to hang with me. So the other thing that families are doing and individuals is they're coming back to grab all their beautiful facets that had been lost along the, not lost, but just displaced along the way so that we could reunify and harmonize from within. So I didn't even know what soul loss was. My blueprint was 11% gone. I didn't even have my full blueprint. It had corrupted. So I had people energetically just trying to help me. My aura fractured. So I hadn't slept for 57 years. I hadn't slept. Right. And so there's just so much happening that I think people would be like, oh, no wonder anxiety, depression, blah, blah, blah. So once people understand this is just an energy, reunification and true self, and then you look at the energy of a family. Well, what I noticed is the energy, so we have energy around the heart. There's this beautiful doctor, forget his name, and I apologize, but there's a heart wall, around our heart, an energetic heart wall. And I'll have to remember what his name is here in a minute. But what that reminded me of, I'm like, but I saw a wall of energy around whole families. So what is the heart wall around entire families? And that was how we keep chaos, confusion, hopelessness, helplessness, scarcity around the family, like a fence. Like we started fencing in our dwellings, right? Like that's my stuff, that's your stuff, that's my family, it's your family. So it's a fence, but it's an energetic fence that we don't realize that we're putting around the entire family energetically. So that was the other thing that was huge aha for me. I'm like, oh, so we are entrapped in energy of our own making that we can't see and we don't know that we're doing it. So that's why the book speaks only of empowerment, only of compassion, forgiveness, and love. And the prologue starts with how we all decided to parachute in at the same time. Billions and billions of souls. And what have we been up to? And so for me, that's the storyline. We've been up to healing human drama, and healing, helping the earth move. And we're ascending. So if you're on the earth right now, you're on the ride. So making sense of that is up to you. But this is in my mind, one of the biggest things was to bring forward this information in a new way for families, not from necessarily a psychological view, but from an energetic view.
Now I so appreciate that because like I know for a fact that Monday eclipse, I took the whole day off. I didn't turn on my phone. I was just present. Last 2 nights ago, so today's Thursday, so Tuesday to Wednesday, massive influx of energy. Massive influx of energy. Then this morning, I have this tendency, and I love myself for it. I have this massive expansion, then a boomerang back out of fear. And it was so funny to watch myself this morning because I'm doing all of the anxiety patterns that I know. I'm an expert in watching them now. And I'm like, oh, so you're going to try to do this now. Okay, so guess what? I am going to slow my ass down so much I can feel the fabric on the carpet on my feet. I'm going to like feel me chewing a banana. How's that feel, anxious? And I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to provocate it, but whatever that word that I want to say. But it was just like, oh, you want to go into that? Well, the antidote to that is I'm going to be really present. And the reason it got triggered is because I said I was going to be present with myself all day. And it was like, oh, not that, not that. So, like, honoring and loving myself for that because I know it's just like it's another part of me that wants attention that gets to go through my somatic process and be integrated. But it was like the deeper awareness was it wasn't just me.
No, we have an opportunity. So before I forget, Dr. Bradley Nelson is the gentleman with the heart wall.
Oh, cool.
So what we have, so if you just think of our smart body, right, as this beautiful filter. So for those of us who are in touch with our empath and our high sensitivity, what I didn't realize early was I was taking on everybody's stuff. I had no idea how to boundary myself at all. So with the April 8th energy, and it's coming back, but remember, it's coming back and through anyone who may or may not have this awareness of their of the density and of this woundedness that energetically is trying to move through their body. So whenever I'm having a beautiful day, and the next thing I know, I am shedding tears or something is caught in my heart, the very first thing I do is I say, is that a part of me that needs some support? And if it's no, because I can immediately hear it, I realize, oh, so it's within the range of what we call the world line, the place that we're sitting in any space and place, right? So now I'm like, oh, so I'm actually filtering other energy. So because I'm honored to have that opportunity and I know how to do it, I just go ahead and allow and let it move through, detaching myself from the fact that that's not mine, but I'm happy to help others to a point with the overflow. So that's the thing for me is that I realized as long as my bag is full and I am in my genius in the overflow helping, I notice that I am more creative, I feel better, things like that. It was healing the old pattern of fix, save, or change somebody. When I realized that the greatest gift that we give ourselves and our families is our conscious presence in the moment, and also having healed so that as much light as we can hold is present. That is the gift. The gift is in the energy that we hold in the space that we're in with our family as they are. So accepting where they are, as they are, who they are, knowing all is well. That was an advanced mastery for me. And still to this day, when I am with a family member, there are times when it's starting to feel heavy in there. And I realize, oh, I have a little more healing. I have a little more healing. That's okay. So they're giving us a lot of gifts and they don't realize it. Now, that doesn't mean I stay in the middle of an argument or I don't leave if I'm not feeling it, right? But I can actually be in the energy of a compassionate witness because most of our family don't even realize they're on a journey and they're stuck in the old pattern. And that I have compassion for because I was there too. And it sucked at times. I mean, it was like, I just don't even know if I want another day here. I don't know. So yeah, boots on the ground. That's what we are right now.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I remember like having and had I used to have friction with my mom. And then one day last year I went to visit her at the facility she's at. Beautiful, amazing facility. The woman loves people with dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the manager. So I show up and my little girl is having a full-on tantrum. So I do not want to go in. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is a healing for both of us. And so I'm like, okay, beloved little girl, there's a blanket. There are coloring books. There's your favorite stuffed animal. There's snacks, there's water. I'm leaving you in the car. I got to go do this. And what transpired from it was this incredible, like multiple lifetime healing. And then I gave her chocolate when I got back out. My little girl chocolate. But like I was amazed that we have that ability to hold space for that part of us. That's still in fear, still in wounded state, but still do the adult thing anyways. And from that, I mean, she went from dementia to full on receiving a transmission I was giving that I was guided to do, and she understood it. So she actually heard the light, wasn't light language, but it was light coming through me to her. And then she went back into dementia when I left, and I was like, that was amazing. Whatever that was, I don't know what it was. I don't have to know what it was. I felt it. And it brought so much healing to her, to me, to us, to generations of misunderstanding between mom and daughter. It was amazing. And we have that ability to do that. We just get to choose.
It's a choice in every moment to react or respond. And either way, you're still learning. The question is, I had a medium tell me one time, it was kind of cute, like 57 years in this lifetime. And she goes, no, you've been doing this for almost 1,000 lifetimes. Like, this is the first time that, you kind of gotten it together. And I said, oh, I feel like a slow learner, right? And she goes, no, you're a soul learner. And I thought, oh, I like that
I do
because
too.
see, our soul never stops learning.
Right.
And the human in us gets caught in the comparison of, I couldn't do it in 10 lifetimes, or I couldn't do it in Africa, or all, what broke loose in Atlantis. Like, what's happening? And so our human mind begins to create these stories. And then I realize, oh, ego is back at the table. Ego's not feeling one, ego's feeling other. So for me, it's this beautiful opportunity for me to love on my ego and love on my mind, because what I noticed, and I don't know, again, words aren't important, but spiritualist or new age or whatever that is. But when I hear, your ego has to die, or there's an ego death, whatever that is, I asked my ego one day, I go, when we were healing together, and I said, how does it feel when you hear, or I'm listening to something on a podcast that says the ego has to die? What does that feel like when you are hearing it? And it says, it feels like I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. And I said, absolutely. Because nobody wants to die. If you believe you're going to die, that aspect of you feels like you're trying to kill me. Right. So I thought that was very, very insightful. The mind's the same way. I'm like, mind, inner narrator, is there some reason why you're constantly talking to me? And by the way, not in a very kind way. Where did all of this come from? Narration, narration. And so I just was able, I so my inner child really helped me use my imagination and envision sitting everybody in down, having a conversation. I journal. What did somebody say or not say? And so now that I'm spending time with my own inner realm, and now I'm planting seeds in mind, in conscious mind, and higher mind's helping, there's seeds of joy, there's seeds of empowerment, there's seeds of appreciation. Well, now my mind is calm, right? And so I do think that it's a matter of understanding that I have the power within, and I had given power to everything and everyone else. And once I realized that, I chose differently. And Sophia, you remind me with your inner child, with her in the car of the coloring books. You know, our inner children are just warriors, right? Because they had so much going on. So let's say, so for me, anger and rage were a huge thing that I had suppressed. So I ended up boxing for a year and going to rage rooms.
Cool.
And I asked, what do I need to do? What I need to do? But what I would do is I would close my eyes and I would imagine the little, whoever, 10, 11, 12, 2, whatever it was, and on their little t-shirt, because I have grown children granddaughters now, but on the little t-shirt, it would say anger, or it would say rage, or it would say hurt, or whatever it is, whatever the little thing was having a moment with. And the adult me is sitting in the most beautiful place on a bench. And I would say to the little one, whenever you're ready. And I'd sit there in my imagination and I would wait for that part to crawl into my lap. And when that beautiful little part would sit in my lap, I'd start doing this just naturally. And then I'd say, whenever you're ready and you feel safe, just glitter your way into my heart. Pretend you're Tinkerbell and you just become glitter, just become light. And I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And that part would just come straight into my heart, right? And so I kept doing this over and over, and I'm creating a guided meditation for this over again, because what I realized for me, that's just how it worked for me. So every time someone had a t-shirt, and then one day I said, hey, if anybody's having a hard time, and I realized there was a line. There was a line in the park, and everybody of a different age had a different t-shirt with a different thing on. And so it was a mass healing.
Wow.
It was a mass healing. And so there wasn't enough Kleenex in the house that day.
Oh,
there
yeah.
wasn't enough toilet paper. There wasn't enough sleeve. I could, and I just said, who's next? Who's next? Who's next? And when the little ones trusted the adult to be healed enough to hold the contrast, the hurt, and then I realized, ooh, that's just not from this lifetime.
Yeah.
These are littles from Atlantis, littles from Civil War, littles from witchery, right? So I didn't realize, right? But once I set that up. So I share that with you, Sophia, and whoever may, you know, be listening to this later, that when you use your creative imagination, it feels to me like your soul's like, yeah, they get it, because it's about joy. This isn't about just
right.
rolling around on a floor with every terrible thing that ever happened to you spitting out of your face. You know, it can actually be this very creative and innovative way of bringing those beautiful fragments and facets into and unifying and harmonizing. So right now the world is going from traumatization, bridging into harmonization.
I love that. I'm feeling that so much, because there's like a collective, we're done with this old energy kind of aspect.
Yeah.
And yet, like, we're in the thick of it right now.
We're in the cocoon, baby.
Yeah.
The caterpillar. We're in the chrysalis energy. That's what it is. It's the turbulent energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's and messy in there. It's messy.
We eat ourselves in the chrysalis. we eat the caterpillar.
Well, the caterpillar. So I'm a recovering caterpillar. That's all I ever thought I was, right? So all we're doing now is we're in the chrysalis energy, and the caterpillar was necessary to create this. They still don't know what's really going on in there. So here we've got the, the caterpillar's got all the cells from all the times it was ever a caterpillar, and it's necessary to bridge the new cellular stuff, right? So the light coming in, the dark coming in, and it's messy, messy, messy. And it's like, that hurts. I don't know what's happening. And it can't even see itself. It doesn't even know what it's going to be. It's becoming, right?
Yeah.
And it's scared. But
Yeah.
if anybody messes with that chrysalis, right? If anybody tries to get the butterfly out, the butterfly can't fly. And that's why families have got to allow each person the honor of their own journey. Now, they can still love from a distance, but the cosmic twister has got to stop because we're just entangling each other, and it's just one of the lessons, that's all. So
Yeah.
allowing the chrysalis energy to do what it is naturally meant to do. So trust, faith, right? That when it starts to break free, you look around and you go, whoa, I'm not even, I got what now? What's going on behind me? Right? So that's the beautiful thing that's going on. But the chrysalis energy right now on Earth, at this point in the evolution of humanity, feels scary. So fear, familiar energy aligned with resistance. So this is the key. When we don't resist and we allow all the stuff to come up, we begin to have trust and faith in the unseen. That took me a while to have relationships with with my unseen family of light. They're super funny, most of them are. And now you're like, oh, life in the fast lane is now life in the flow lane. We cannot take the journey for anyone else. And everybody else is just groovy. They just had their own idea about what they wanted to break through. And does it bring tears to my eyes to see children moving through this contrast? We haven't completely dissolved trafficking of children,
No, I have not.
right? We haven't dissolved domestic violence. We haven't dissolved war yet. But I'll tell you, we are exponentially healing. No matter
Yeah.
what the mainstream media says,
I have
we
no
are
idea.
healing.
I have no idea what the mainstream media is saying.
It just touches a little bit when I hear other people talk about it.
Yeah.
But what I would say is, the more light we hold, the healthier we are, mind, body, spirit, aligned, balanced, connected. That is our gift. And there isn't anything else to do other than stay in our joy.
And that's such a fun journey to like, what is joy in this moment, right? And yesterday, it was a beautiful walk, and I got to see a bald eagle on my walk, and I got to talk to the trees, and then I got to lay in the grass, and that brought me an inordinate amount of joy. Today it was sipping my chai. I love my morning chai and the feeling of all of the spices going down into my belly and the healing energy that comes through it. But it's each moment we get to choose what brings us joy, and we've forgotten how to do that. So it's an invitation to reconnect with that innocent part of us. To remember, joy doesn't cost anything. Joy
No.
is so easy to uncover when you're allowing yourself to experience it.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, because the other thing about traumatized children and teens, and then we grow up and echo. There was nothing more painful to me at the beginning of this journey of awakening than to allow love to come towards me. In other words, I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what it felt like. And because I had been in the dark for so long, I didn't trust kindness. I didn't trust compassion. It's like, okay, someone with love is trying to love me. Someone with heart, soul is trying to love me. And I remember just pulling back physically, just leaving me alone, man. You know, your light is just shining too bright for me. I can't handle love. I can't feel love. And a lot of that had to do initially with the sense of unworthiness. And I was raised in a religion where, because of what I had been involved in and it happened to me, I was a sinner. So it didn't occur to me that, you know, I needed to repent and I needed to share as much as I could and then just pray that I was going to hit the gates of heaven rather than the gates of hell. I mean, I truly believed that. And that was not true. I understand that now. But it took me a long time to allow myself. So forget about my husband trying to love me or my children trying to love me. How about me trying to love me? I didn't even know what love was. I didn't know how it felt. I dissociated completely from my body for 57 years. So to feel or not to feel. So the very first time I had that out of body experience and I was lifted out of my body into that dream, it scared the absolute daylights out of me because my body was in full feel and I hadn't felt. I mean, there were three coping mechanisms that really worked well for me: Patron, pastries, and purchases. That's how I coped. So I was shut down big time. So to feel or not to feel. So when it comes to love and allowing love and even knowing what love is, that's the same thing as joy. When someone said, I had therapists over many decades say, well, what brings you joy? And I said, oh, I love helping people. They're like, no. What brings you joy? What do you do that you enjoy? You know, what do you do with your friends? I don't have any friends. I take care of my family. What do you mean friends? What are you talking about? What do you do that makes you feel happy? I really like taking care of people. Nope. Nope. We got to drill down. Got to drill down. So my first joyful moment, interestingly enough, 3 years ago, was getting one of those beautiful kits that go from caterpillars, raising them into butterflies. And it was the first thing I
Oh,
had
I
ever
love
done.
that. I love that.
And the very first set of five butterflies that I created from caterpillar to butterfly, this was before I realized I was a recovering caterpillar. The very first butterfly would not leave my finger. I've got a picture of Penelope, and that beautiful thing is looking at me, and it's like, I'm not going anywhere. What do you mean? Like, you've been in this net thing, right? Like, you were feeding me oranges. What do you want me to do? I'm like, gotta be free, gotta be free, gotta be free. He sat there for 5 minutes, and finally, I call her a she, and then she went away. She just flew, and the other ones went away too, just flew. And I could feel my heart, and I was like, this is joy for me. This is the feeling of joy. So it was the very first time in my life that I could actually identify joy in my physical body. And now every year I create butterflies.
Love that so much. That is
That is the story
so
of the hunt for
beautiful.
joy. I had no idea what it felt like. And that's why I understand with children who are traumatized, whether they're 9 months old or 90 years old, that we tend to shy away from love and joy and compassion and forgiveness. And it takes a minute for that light for them, for us to, and I say us, because to trust the light. So if you're in a closet, and I used to do this when I was small, because you know, this was, I'll give you something to cry about generation. So I'm in the closet with my hands over my mouth because I'm emotional about something that just happened. And imagine someone throws the doors of the closet open, right? The light. And now you're doing this with it. That's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when we shine light too fast or too much, that it scares us. And that's part of the trauma. So I just share that in case people are going through something similar. It's like, yeah, I don't let people love me. I don't, you know. So I wonder now. I
Thank
wonder.
you. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's just some love for whoever might be listening.
Thank you. And I would love to talk to you for a few more hours, but I have two more podcast to do today. So I'm just going to ask you that last question, and that is, how can people find you?
So all you got to do is go to onesacredfamily.com and all my information's there.
Dr. Kelly, I am so beyond description honored and blessed to have had this conversation with you, to know you, and to share some of the work you do in the world. And I am just filled with gratitude to know you.
Thank you, Sophia. This has been wonderful for me as well too. So I'll send you the book.
Thank
I'll
you.
email it to you. All right.
Thank you so much, my dear.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Bye for now.
Bye.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.